Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Sharavan. We have Taran here with us.
Hello.
And we're back for the new year.
You gave up on those headphones really quickly.
Oh, yeah, because we don't need them.
Yeah.
I just need to hear the theme so I don't start in the middle of the theme or like 2 minutes after the theme. So, yeah, just need to hear the theme. But we're back.
We are, yes.
Yeah. We took a bit of a break. It's been like a couple of months,
I think. 4 weeks? No, probably longer. Yeah.
I think this is the first time we're recording this year. Because we had some episodes come out this year, but we recorded them last year. So
true.
But we're back with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Marvel's latest movie, the 31st? Yes. No, 32nd.
Oh, January.
31st of January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the 31st or the 32nd MCU movie. It's directed by Peyton Reed, who directed the first two Ant-Man movies. It's starring Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Jonathan Majors.
Yep. I'm just thinking, is Peyton Reed doing the Fantastic Four movie?
He was going to, but then he wanted to, but then they got the guy from Spider-Man to do it.
Yep, and but then he dropped out.
He dropped out, but yep. I don't think Peyton Reed's doing it. I don't think they have a director, do they? Or do they? Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's not
Peyton Reed. Okay. Yeah. Something just popped into my head. I'm like,
Because I think he wanted to do it.
I think he did. Yeah. Yeah.
Before MCU,
he wanted to do it.
Yeah, before Ant-Man and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also starring Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer. So they're back from.
Returning from the other ones.
Yeah. Well, Michelle Pfeiffer was in the second one and Michael Douglas was in all of them. If you're looking forward to watching Judy Greer and her husband and the Louise, who's Michael Peña's character, and his other friends, they're not in the movie.
One of them is, but as a different character.
Yeah. And not as a physical.
Yeah.
It's like a CGI character.
I'm trying to remember Judy Greer's husband's name.
Like his
His actual name.
His actual name?
Yeah. That will come to me in a sec. Don't worry about it.
You know his actual name?
I do know it, but I can't remember it.
His name in the movie is Paxton.
Paxton. His actual name. I can't remember it, but it will come to me.
Also, Randall Park is in
briefly
this movie.
In it. Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing major.
He's in WandaVision more than he's in this.
Oh, yeah. He's in that quite a bit.
I can't remember WandaVision.
He's in it a little bit.
Yeah.
Apart from that, not much to say. Box office, it's not going bonkers.
It's doing enough, isn't it? It's
$291 million so far. So it's been about a week since we watched it, or since it's been out. Budget of $200 million. So it's not great, Not great, but yeah, you'll probably still end up making enough money. Word of mouth is not good.
Ant-Man movies generally don't do that well as well.
Yes. Yeah. They're generally on the lower end of the box office revenue. But in terms of critical reception, they're at least the first one, I think it was like in the 80s. The second one was in like maybe the 70s.
People have been questioning that in terms of, do you think the critics have gotten harsher on MCU movies?
Yeah. So have the movies got worse, or are the movies the same and people are just tired of them?
I think there's definitely the critics are more harsher on superhero movies now than they used to be.
Yeah.
I don't think, Thor Ragnarok got a fresh, Thor Ragnarok's good. What's the other one?
Love
Thor the Dark World got a fresh rating.
Love and Thunder got a fresh rating. So, yeah. The only Rottens in the MCU are Eternals and this.
Yeah. But I feel like this is, it's not good, but also,
it's not
like
that
if
bad.
They made this in 2011, people probably would have loved it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that the movies are getting worse because I thought, like, the first Ant-Man, I never thought it was that good. I was like, yeah, it's okay. We watched it the other week.
Pretty good.
And it's pretty good. I think we take for granted that, like, you know, the other not as popular phase one and two movies where, like, because they were comparing to, like, the amazing phase three and phase two movies and phase one.
I think phase one and phase two had decent movies that aren't amazing.
But decent.
But they're decent. Phase three is what everyone remembers. And phase three is like, it was amazing. Like, everything was so good.
Pretty much every single movie,
And that's why everyone has such high expectations because phase three was so good. And phase four has dipped probably back to, like, phase one quality, but
I would say it's even like lower than phase one.
Phase one quality post-phase three era.
At best, it's phase one quality. At worst, it's, like, worse than phase one quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a post-phase three era where people expect more. So that's why I think these movies probably, if you release them in 2002, probably would have been fine. Like, it's still not great, but it probably would have been fine. But, like, when you've seen Endgame and Infinity War and all these other Ragnarok and amazing movies.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier, the Civil War, this just doesn't match up. Yeah.
It doesn't even match up to the first Ant-Man. So it's...
Yeah.
Anyway, that probably gives you an idea of what we think about this movie. So we're going to go and do some non-spoiler stuff very briefly, and then we'll do spoilers after that. Non-spoiler-wise, positives. I think Kang, so it's not a spoiler, Kang was in the promotional material quite extensively. Yeah, he was very good. And it feels like a weird movie because I feel like this shouldn't be an Ant-Man movie. But it is for some reason. It should have been something else. But Kang was really good. Jonathan Majors did a good job. And this is the actual Kang. Well, I don't know if we can call him the actual Kang because there's so many Kangs. But it's more like the Kang in the comic books than the one we saw in Loki, who's a variant of Kang. But this is like original recipe Kang, comic book Kang.
Yeah, Jonathan Majors is a good actor.
Yeah.
Did I like all of Kang? Not really, but I liked his performance. They've, spoiler, in spoilers we could talk about it more, but they look like they're taking the character in a certain direction. And from an acting point of view, I can see why Jonathan Majors would have thought, that's a challenge, I want to do that. But from a viewing point of view, I think it's going to be terrible.
I know what you're talking about. We can talk about it in spoilers. I also think it's like when you go down that route, like you lose all consequence. Like you're like, there's another Kang.
Yeah.
This you beat this one, but then, there's another one. And there's another one after that. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah. I think, we'll talk about that more in spoilers, but... Yeah, I think Jonathan Majors has been good in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to be good in Creed 3 as well.
Yes, which is actually the movie that we'll be reviewing next. So
So I enjoyed him. I think Paul Rudd is actually really good as Ant-Man, but I think he's better as Ant-Man in movies that aren't Ant-Man movies.
Yeah. Even in the first Ant-Man movie, he is the lead, but like Hank Pym is also, like, pretty important in that movie, as is, like, I guess Hope is pretty important as well. So he's not like, he is the lead, but he has a lot of supporting.
But I feel like even in that movie, like, I much prefer him in Civil War. I think Civil War is the best Ant-Man.
Yeah, and
Endgame. Yeah, he's also a good Ant-Man. But in his own movies, yeah, he somehow just isn't as good. I think in, like, a movie where everyone else is serious and he's the comedic relief, he comes off a bit better sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. But Paul Rudd's always good. I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah.
He did what he had to do in this. This movie is also not that funny. Like, Ant-Man movies, I always, like, whenever I think of Ant-Man, I'm like, oh, it's going to be funny.
So comedy's subjective and we know that. So some people may find it funny. I didn't really find it funny.
No, and I don't think there were that many jokes. Like, it's not like Thor, Love and Thunder where there were meant to be jokes and it just wasn't funny. I just don't think there were that many jokes in this movie.
I think there were some jokes, though.
Yeah.
There is one character that they do a joke with recurring that I didn't really enjoy. Yeah, I thought they were, it's not like, it's not back-to-back jokes like Thor, Love and Thunder, though.
Yeah.
But it is still more on the comedic side.
Some jokes, I guess.
But I didn't find it funny.
Yeah, it's not funny. Is there any other positives? We haven't talked about Cassie. So Cassie's in this movie, his daughter.
Look, I didn't hate her or I didn't love her. She was just in this movie. It's like a lot of people in this movie. I don't hate or love them. Yeah. They're just in this movie. Some of them are hardly in this movie. Like, it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp, but Evangeline Lilly is, like, not in this movie. Or she's hardly in it.
Yeah.
So I can't say I hate Evangeline Lilly's performance in this movie.
Yeah.
Because she's not in it. She's in it for, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite being in the title. Cassie is played by Catherine Newton. So that's a different actor to who played it. Cassie in Endgame, and this is not that much after Endgame, right? So it's like, yeah. So obviously they recast her, and apparently the previous actress was, I think it was Emma Furman, if I got it right, but they never told her that she was getting recast. So she found out when they officially announced Catherine Newton she was not coming back.
The reason, I think they could have done this with the previous actress. I think she was good in Endgame. In the limited screen time that she had.
That she's in, yeah.
Catherine Newton doesn't do anything special in this movie, but I think the reason they probably cast her is she's a more well-known actress. So they
is she? I didn't know. Like, I mean, she movies. Was in, like,
she's in, like,
that Pokemon movie.
She's in that movie with Vince Vaughn where they switch bodies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, well, it's like two movies. But anyway, she's in it. Like you said, she was okay. Nothing great, but nothing terrible either. The only other positive I can sort of come up with is the quantum realm stuff was, I guess, okay. There's a sequence where they go into the quantum realm, which I thought was pretty good. Mm. And some stuff in the quantum realm was okay, but it's also like...
I found that the quantum realm was not well-defined in this movie. Like, how big is the quantum realm? Like, they've got, like, two different tribes that they kind of look at in this movie. Is that who the quantum realm is? Is there lots more people in it? It's very ill-defined, and it feels like very small in the movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's meant to be huge.
Yeah.
And it's just never defined. And it feels like there's a roof on it. Like, it feels very enclosed.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels, yeah, I don't know. We can talk about more on spoilers because I have more thoughts about how the quantum realm works in this movie compared to other movies. Because it kind of contradicts stuff that's happened in the past with Quantum Realm. Negatives, I think we're kind of like touching on negatives as we're talking about the positives, but like the editing in this movie is just, it just struck me even when I was watching, I'm like, why did the previous scene end? And why does this scene start where it's starting? And then they, like, there's one point where they cut a scene, they go to another scene and it starts in like, this weird location. You don't even know how the characters got there. And then they cut that scene and they go back to the previous scene, but nothing else has happened in the previous scene. It's like the same point where you left it. It's just weird editing.
And I also think there's stuff in this movie that was cut out. I went to the bathroom at one point, so I might have missed some stuff, but it feels like things are missing in this movie, just like plot points.
Yeah.
And like characters are in this movie for like 2 minutes that you thought would come back and they never do as well.
Yeah, there's cameos that, like,
insignificant.
Yeah, like, they didn't need to be there. They didn't add any value. And, yeah, it was just... And
there was, like, there's story points where they're like, this is, like, they reference stuff that happened in the past, but they never come back to what actually happened. It might have been when I was in the toilet, but I don't think they did come back to that.
I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds about right that they probably did come back to it. Yeah, and also there's just some character motivations and just stuff that characters do that just doesn't make sense. Like, why there's this plot? The whole plot actually happens because of Janet, and she just doesn't tell people stuff that she has done in the past. And I feel like she should have been telling people some very important, relevant things. And for some reason, she didn't. And even in the movie, she doesn't for a very long time. And that just, like, it just didn't make sense. It just took away from the movie. Like, why wouldn't you? It doesn't even take that long to tell. It's not like it's, like, a massive thing that you have to, like, tell. And it takes, it feels like, yeah, it didn't make sense, that whole motivation. And the whole, I feel like there are definitely scenes that are cut out because they seem to rush to get into the quantum realm. Like, there's like 5 minutes of the movie and then they're in the quantum realm. And the reason why they get into the quantum realm is still not clear to me. I don't know why that happens. It's in all the trailers, but they're just like, we have to get into the quantum realm and then do the rest of them.
I think it is explained in one line why they were in the quantum realm, but it's not well defined.
Anyway, I could probably keep rolling off some negatives, but we can jump into spoilers and probably go through.
Mm. I don't think it's the worst movie in the MCU, but it's not great either.
It's just very, like, forgettable.
I think it's very... the feeling I get is it's very rushed. Like, the whole plot is rushed. The production seems rushed. Just everything about this movie feels a rush to me. Like, they had to rush into writing it. They had to rush into getting it filmed and then rush into post-production and get it
releasing
out.
Releasing it. Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't have any time to think about if it made sense.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is some sort of, like, studio mandate, but most of the Phase 4 movies, except for Wakanda Forever, have all been about 2 hours long.
Mm.
And some of them probably could have done with some more screen time because they didn't have that before. Like, Phase 3 had some pretty long movies. And I'm not saying you need to make it long, but it feels like this needed some other stuff in it.
Yeah, I think there is some Disney stuff going on where there's a clear distinction between when Bob Iger left and the other Bob.
Bob Chapek.
Bob Chapek took over. Yeah. It was the end of Phase 3 and the start of Phase 4 is when Bob Chapek took over.
Yeah.
The first few movies in Phase 4 were actually not too bad. And they
Black Widow and Shang-Chi.
Yeah, which I think are pretty decent movies. They're not, like, amazing. They're, like, Phase 1 quality or Phase 2 quality, I think.
Yeah.
But they're both pretty good. But then as time goes along, the movies get shorter, the graphics get shitter, and the, everything just feels just rushed on.
Worse,
Rushed on everything, including the TV shows. All of them feel rushed as well. I think
all of the TV shows were. Well, they were all post-Phase 3. So, they were all.
So I think there's a clear distinction where Disney tried to pump out more of these because they're profitable.
Yeah.
And there was a rush on getting these out. So I don't think it's Marvel's fault, but it's probably a higher up thing where they just have to be pushing out these movies and the quality's obviously declined as a result.
Yeah, and on that note, they've actually delayed a whole bunch of stuff. So Marvel's was meant to come out in July. Now it's in November. So the next movie is still going to be Guardians, so that's still coming out when it was.
But I think James Gunn would have done what he wouldn't have rushed his process. I think he's got enough pull as a director that he'll do what he wants to do.
Yeah, and I guess Ryan Coogler,
same thing,
did as well. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with Guardians. So that's in. I think that's in May, so that's the next one. And then
I'm not going to say Guardians 3 will be good, but it'll be the movie that James Gunn wanted to make. So,
let's see. And in terms of TV shows, I think, like, everything's delayed pretty much. except yeah. for the one that was meant to come going to come out this year.
Yeah, I think it's just Loki 2 and Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion, yeah. Yeah, just those two. Okay, so I give it a cognitive regression.
Just yeah, I think so. But
I just didn't want to watch. I don't think I'll ever watch it again. It's no incentive to watch it again. Also, the whole everything that happens in this movie is a bit in the end, even though it's kind of setting up for everything in Phase 5 and it's introducing formally the main villain of Phase, this whole multiverse saga, it's pretty inconsequential.
Yeah, in the end, it probably is because, I don't know if it's going to matter too much. It's kind of that situation where they want to make movies relevant, but they're also like, what if no one watches this one?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem they had with the Ant-Man movies because they're like, they always came out after an Avengers movie as well. So the first Ant-Man came after Age of Ultron, second one came out after Infinity War. And I think people just found them a bit like irrelevant.
Yeah.
So maybe they wanted to make this movie more relevant, but they lost the essence of what Ant-Man was in the process.
Yeah, I think sometimes Marvel movies toe the line of, do we want to make this relevant to the bigger story? Do we want to do a good movie within itself? I think the worst ones are the ones that don't know which one they want to be. And this one doesn't know which one it wants to be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay.
All right. Let's do spoilers. So I've got a list of stuff, actually, because I thought about this movie. And at almost every point, I have a question as to why stuff is happening. So I'll start with Evangeline Lilly's hair in this movie.
Well, yeah, you just don't like it. Yeah, it's well, not she's great. Got, yeah.
She doesn't have good hair in the first Ant-Man as well.
Yeah, it's like a bob cut.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call it.
It's not great. Yeah. In the second one, I think she's normal hairstyle. And Endgame.
But she rocks this hairstyle in real life. So
yeah, I think
it's just
like,
her hair.
Yeah.
So you're just dissing on this woman.
Yeah, I just want to start with
it's
that.
It's not like a creative choice they made for the movie where they're like, she has to have this hair.
And I think what I wanted to actually start with was the Wasp is not in this movie.
No. Nah, it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp, but she's not in this movie. She said some controversy. I think there's two characters in this movie that probably had more scenes and they've just cut them. One is Evangeline Lilly because she said some controversial stuff about vaccines, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And the other one's Bill Murray, who's in this for one scene. And he's like, I don't know, he's getting cancelled because he did some shitty stuff. I don't know, I can't remember what it was.
So they just cut him out.
I'm pretty sure they cut him out. I'm 99% sure that Bill Murray would have had more than one scene in this movie.
He's in the trailers and everything. So,
yeah. Yep. But in this movie, he has one scene, which could be cut out of the movie. Like that scene, nothing happens in the end.
Pretty
they get a
much.
Ship.
Yeah.
They get no information off him.
Yeah.
He just, yeah. Which.
Well, I mean, they find out that he is working for Kang.
So yeah, he but was, he doesn't come back again. So what, yeah. what does it matter if he works for Kang?
No,
yeah.
No.
And they hint at this backstory where Janet Van Dyne abandoned Bill Murray and all these other people and left the quantum realm. That never comes back. When did she abandon them? And like what situation did she abandon them in?
Yeah. So we didn't really talk about the plot of this movie, but going back to the start. So Cassie, this is also one thing I didn't understand. So in the very beginning, you start with Paul Rudd. He's like a bit of a celebrity now because he's saved the world. He's part of the Avengers. Yeah, and then his daughter's in jail because she's an activist of some sort. What's she protesting against?
Homelessness. They were like kicking people out of homes.
Is that mentioned in the movie? Or
it is.
Did I just miss it? Or like?
Yeah, you missed it. Okay, it is mentioned. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was just that whole first thing sequence before they get into Quantum Realm just happened. Like everything happened so quickly. It's like 5 minutes. So I'm like, I'm just missing stuff. I didn't understand why she was going to jail and why everyone else was in it except Ant-Man, except not Paul Rudd, what's his real name? Scott Lang. I think they were trying to set it up so that there was some tension between Scott and his daughter, but they just seemed like friends. She didn't tell him this one thing, but they're still like best buddies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that whole motivation didn't make sense. And how many like teenage geniuses do we have in this universe?
A lot, yeah.
So she built this like quantum realm communication device thing in her bedroom.
So this is, it's ill-defined. Like you said, they don't really explain how they get sucked into the quantum realm.
Yeah. And
essentially, so like, it's one line in the movie where MODOK says, "I saw your communication and I brought you in." But it's not well defined.
Is this the first time she turned that thing on?
I don't think so.
So, okay. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. But it seems like Hank, Janet, and Hope are on, like, in on this, because when Scott is discussing it with them, they all kind of bring it up, and it feels like they're all in on it.
Yeah.
But then Janet, she's like, you're communicating with the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you knew this. Like, you were supporting her, like, the previous scene. And then she's like, yeah, you can't do that. And then they turn it off, and then they get sucked in.
Yeah.
That whole thing just didn't make sense.
Yeah, I think it's just what you said it is. That's what it is. Yeah. She
changes her mind.
No, for some reason, she's not in on it. She's just not in on it.
I thought she was, though.
No, she's not in on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they try and get her in on it. Hope tries to talk to her about it.
I think this family,
and then she doesn't want to talk. I don't know why that she's not in on it, but she's not in on it.
This family has really bad communication skills because, like, they don't tell Janet that her granddaughter is like making this quantum realm thing. She doesn't tell them that the quantum realm had this like guy called Kang who's like, who can't escape the quantum realm. Because even in the previous movie, don't they send Scott into the quantum realm?
So that's why it's ill-defined what is actually happening. So I think there is different dimensions. I think that's the explanation. Like, the one that they get sucked into is like a pocket dimension. And then the thing that Ant-Man was in the previous movie was something else.
Yeah, because the time,
like, deeper in the quantum realm and there's like different depths. But it's never explained in the movie. This is me making up an excuse for it.
Because then the ants, they seem to go somewhere else because time goes all different for them. And they like develop this whole like civilization.
The movie doesn't explain any of this. Like, you have to make up your own theory for it to make sense, which is sometimes fun with a movie. But for this movie, it's too much. Like, there's too much not explained. I think it's different depths of the quantum realm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to be explained.
Because obviously the time thing works differently. Because also Janet was in the quantum realm for like 30 years or whatever.
And she aged.
She aged. But then Scott was in it for 5 hours and he comes out and it's been 5 years.
Yeah. So I think it's different depths or some shit. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
So basically that's what I was saying before in the non-spoiler section, but it seems to conflict with all this other information that we had from the previous movie.
When they go into the quantum realm in the previous movies, they don't see like civilizations or anything. They don't think anyone else lives in the quantum realm.
Yeah, that's right. But then there's like this city and all these creatures and stuff that live in it.
Yeah.
This movie. But anyway, none of that really makes sense. So, other thing about Janet. So, once they're in the quantum realm, she still doesn't tell them for a while. She keeps like saying, this is not the time.
Well, arguably, she never fully tells them. The full story is never told as to what happened.
Yeah.
You get half the story. So, you get the story up till the part where she leaves Kang and she like destroys the thing. What happens after that? Because she doesn't meet Bill Murray at that point. So when does she meet Bill Murray? Does she meet all these other people?
And when she leaves Kang, I think she looked younger than when Michael Douglas finds her.
So like what happens in those 20 years? But no idea. And they reference stuff. They're like, we fought against Kang for years. Yeah. Like what happened? Why did she leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. But then everyone seems to also know her. And, like, not in a good way because they've...
Yeah, but never explained.
They mentioned that, like, she was working for Kang. But from the flashback that we got, it doesn't...
They say she was fighting Kang with them and then she left.
Yeah.
But like abandoned them in some difficult situation.
Yeah.
But what was that situation that she abandoned them in?
Also, I guess we can talk about Kang. The movie starts with Kang, actually. Kang and her. He was banished to the quantum realm.
Yeah, by the other Kangs.
Did he say the others?
He said the council.
Okay.
So it's the other Kangs.
So why did they banish him?
This is ill-defined as well. If we skip to the end, so who is the villain in the Kang dynasty? Is it going to be all these other Kangs, or is it going to be this Kang that they banished? But this Kang that they banished, is he dead now?
Didn't they say he's dead? Isn't that what the end credit scene is? Because they're like, oh, this other Kang has been vanquished or whatever. And like, I think they were saying people know about the Kangs now.
Yeah.
And that's why they're going to come. And
so I know in Loki, when they kill that guy, all the other Kangs come back into existence because he was keeping them all at bay.
Yeah.
So they kill him.
So that's how the council is established.
Yeah. So all the other Kangs come out. But this guy's the rogue Kang. So technically, this guy should be the most evil Kang.
Yeah.
But now he's dead. And he got killed by a bunch of ants.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get killed by them, but he couldn't defeat a bunch of ants.
Yeah. So the most evil Kang is already dead. And now there's other Kangs, but they're like different levels of evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're still evil, but there's like, I don't know, there's like 20,000 of them or whatever.
Yeah, they just gather all of them together, right?
So, yeah. Yeah. So I'm guessing these Kangs are the villains in the movie?
In the Kang dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's kind of stupid. There's like three ones that they talk and they all got different accents. So this is why I think Jonathan Majors is like, this is going to be like a good acting. Like it's going to at take least it gets to the like, next level. So
it's not just one character.
I'm going to play like 15 characters in the one movie. But also some of these accents are hilarious, like hilariously bad. And how is he going to keep track of all these accents and like all these characters? I think it's going to be so like he could nail it. He could go. It could be amazing, but I think it could also go to shit.
No, I think it'll just be confusing. I'm like, and what's the point of having all these Kangs if they're not all like?
It might be a situation where they all become like one Kang in the end or something.
Yeah. So the Kangs that you see at the end, there's actually two end credit scenes, and both of them have Kangs. Versions of Kangs. So the first one has three.
It's Ramatut.
Ramatut, who's that's actually Kang's original alias when he traveled back in time and conquered ancient Egypt. So that's the original.
Yeah.
And then there's Immortus, who's the future version of Kang and the ruler of Limbo. So what's Limbo?
It's like a place in between time.
Okay. Yeah. Like in Inception.
Yeah.
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 It's called Limbo in Inception as well. Then the other one is the Scarlet Centurion, which is the alias assumed by Kang after his defeat by the Fantastic Four in ancient Egypt and his encounter with Doctor Doom in the 20th century.
Fair enough. And then you see like a stadium full of them.
Yeah. And then
which is actually a scene from it's actually a comic panel.
Oh, okay.
But it looks
wasn't there a scene like that in some X-Men movie? I feel like is it X-Men or something? I've seen a stadium full of other characters.
Kangs?
No, I think it was...
it's the end credit scene for Apocalypse. Not Apocalypse, but Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
It hints at Apocalypse.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if it's a stadium full of people.
No, I think it was just... Yeah.
I think it's just him,
And other people. Then in the second end credit scene, there's another version.
Timeless or something. Tommy Timeless.
Victor Timely.
Yeah, that's it.
Pretty
Tommy
close.
Timeless would be better.
So that's also a version of Kang who established the town of Timely in Wisconsin in 1901 to serve as the 20th century base of his operations.
I reckon that guy's going to die in Loki season 2. I reckon they'll kill him.
They'll just kill a Kang in each of the movies.
I reckon 100% in Loki season 2 they'll kill another Kang.
Yeah, well, going to the second end credits scene, Loki and Mobius. I was going to say
Morbius. Jared Leto.
It would have been better. To be honest, that would have made this movie slightly better if it was Morbius. But yeah, Mobius is there and they're like, oh, this guy doesn't look that bad. Yeah.
They'll kill him.
Loki's like, no, he's bad. We're going to kill him.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Because like what's going to happen in Loki season 2 then? They're just going to follow this guy for 8 episodes and then he's going to get away?
Is it all going to be set in that time period?
I know, that could be cool if they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be something different.
Do you know that the ending of this movie was meant to be different initially.
Okay. What was it?
It was initially going to be that it's pretty much the same up till a certain point. So Kang is beating up Scott Lang at the end.
Yeah.
And then the other three go through the portal back to home.
Yeah.
And then Hope comes back and then they fight Kang.
Yeah.
And then the portal closes.
Which is what happens, yeah.
So up till there, it's the same.
Yeah.
And then Kang gets away at that point. They don't kill him.
Yeah.
And then
they have to stay in the quantum realm.
They stay in the quantum realm.
So I would have thought that would have been better. And I thought that was actually what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then they somehow found a way to easily open the portal again. And
so they stay in the quantum realm. And then it cuts to Cassie. And she's like doing stuff on her computer. And then she gets a shocked look on her face. And then it cuts.
And that's the end of the movie.
That's a movie.
You know, that would have been better. I don't know.
I think that would have been better.
Why didn't they do that?
I don't know.
I don't know why they wouldn't do that. Because the actual ending of this movie is just, it just makes everything inconsequential. Because they kill Kang, they come back out of the quantum realm, and everything's the same as before. So what's the point?
The thinking I'm having as to why they did that is because the story of Kang Dynasty needs to be something else. So they had to reshoot this.
Start something else.
To make that make sense.
So maybe Kang Dynasty doesn't have this Kang.
I'm thinking Kang Dynasty is going to be those three Kangs, the ones that they spoke in the room.
Yeah.
They'll be the three main Kangs. And then the rest of the Kangs will be like cannon fodder.
Yeah.
There'll still be lots
of Kangs.
They'll
be like the army.
They'll be the army. Yeah. But these three Kangs are like, for some reason, more powerful than the other Kangs.
Yeah.
And then they'll be the villains.
Well, if this one was banished, obviously this guy did something bad, right? This guy.
Well, he was killing lots of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these guys, I guess, enjoy killing people as well.
Yeah.
I guess
he just enjoys it more.
I don't know. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me why the most evil Kang isn't the villain. Why is the most evil Kang not the villain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when the other Kangs banish him.
Actually. Okay. I'm trying to reason it in my head.
Unless he's not dead and he's going to come back.
He could not be dead. So possibly the reasoning might be is that these Kangs want there to be a multiversal incursion or whatever, and for the old multiverse to destroy itself, and that Kang wasn't going to allow that to happen.
Maybe so that Kang just wanted to.
He just wanted to kill everyone.
Rule all of them.
Yes, he wanted to rule. But these guys want like a whole incursion or whatever to happen.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
That's what I've reasoned in my head. It could be.
But I also think this Kang, the one in this movie, is probably the best Kang that we've had so far.
They should have used this Kang, which would have made more sense. But I don't know. Maybe Pharaoh Kang will be interesting.
No, I think I have a feeling because no one's really dead. And it wasn't clear if he died anyway. Like they just like put him into that thing that they shrink, right?
He gets... The globe thing.
So maybe he's alive and maybe he comes back.
But from what I think will happen, I think the Kangs will only be a villain for one movie. I don't think it's going to be...
Well, it's Secret Wars' second movie, so...
I don't think they'll be the villains for that.
Yeah. Maybe it leads on to Secret Wars somewhere.
I think Doctor
Kang's
Doom's
not,
gonna,
Kang's
think,
not in a... He's not the villain in Secret Wars.
I think Doctor Doom will be the villain in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in the new Secret Wars, it's Doctor Doom and Kang.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it could be this Kang is the villain in Secret Wars with Doctor Doom.
Yeah. Maybe Doctor Doom breaks him out or something.
In the first one, it's just Pharaoh Kang and his two buddies.
These guys. Yeah.
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 But I don't know. The part that made it feel like why is that Ant-Man could defeat this Kang by himself. So
yeah. And
why
it's
do
not
you
just
need
like
the Avengers?
He could defeat him. Basically not even using his powers, and for some reason Kang also wasn't really using his powers. So
it's one of those movies where Kang uses his powers on everyone except the main characters.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you? Like you're obviously meant to be super powerful. And the ants thing, that was kind of almost just like we need a way to defeat this Kang. Let's just create these ants.
It doesn't make sense that this is the main villain for an Avengers movie. I know in Loki gets defeated by, in Thor, Loki gets defeated by just Thor.
Yeah.
And then he's also the villain in the Avengers movie.
Yeah, but he also has an army.
Yeah. And also Thor is the strongest Avenger.
And he has an Infinity Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Whereas this, Ant-Man's not like a top tier Avenger. He's probably the bottom tier. At least like Thor's an underdog.
Thor's a god. So yeah. Like Loki should be able to beat most normal humans. Yeah. So,
but yeah. Ant-Man's very much an underdog, I think. And like he shouldn't be defeating the... It would be like Thanos getting defeated by Ant-Man by himself. And like yeah. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It could make sense. And I'm happy for that to happen. But then don't have this guy be the main villain for an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Unless he has some serious power up that happens. And like he
But it sounds like he's already got all the power. Like he's got his chair thing that's meant to be his like...
That's the power up. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know. How can you power this guy up anymore? Maybe he gets an Infinity Gauntlet.
But haven't we established that those don't, like, they're not that powerful in the quantum realm or whatever, like in Loki?
But yeah, that's true. That's what made me feel like if he, like, killed Ant-Man, this would have been a better movie.
Yeah, and like, I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is they could have made it a bit more interesting with Ant-Man as well by, because in the trailers they make it look like,
He has to work with Kang.
And there was like some sort of temptation in terms of like Kang was going to give him back some time with Cassie because he missed out on 5 years with her like while she was growing
up. It would have been better if he actually did it. He just went for it. And then he gets regrets afterwards.
I thought he would. I thought there would have been like enough of a temptation for him to probably do that and like some sort of conflict. Like it'd be like conflicted.
Maybe he does it and then Kang wins and then he regrets it and he has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he even has to figure it out.
Even that would have been better. But they immediately like just go back on that because he's like, he offers that to him and then he's just like, no. And then it just reverts back to like a normal villain motivation where he's like, I'll kill your daughter if you don't do this. And he's like, oh, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. I think there was probably, I don't know if it was rewrites or just the way they had to go with the movie, but there was probably a good movie in here somewhere, but it's just not.
I just don't think Kang needed to. I don't think they needed to fuse Kang and Ant-Man.
I think it could have worked if they didn't let Kang lose and just die in the end.
Yeah.
In an inconsequential way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this movie had to have a consequence in the end. Yeah. Like something had to happen.
Well, if you did kill Ant-Man, because Ant-Man is a pretty likable character. Like most people, I don't know anyone that doesn't actually like
Even if they
Ant-Man.
Killed the Wasp. Like, if they kill Michael Douglas. Kill someone. Yeah.
Or kill Michelle. I thought one of them was going to die, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, I was actually surprised that no one dies in this movie. Yes.
Except Kang.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the person I was expecting to die. I thought either Michelle Pfeiffer or Michael Douglas or even Hope might die. Or at worst case, even Ant-Man would die. And Cassie would have to take up the mantle or whatever. But yeah.
You give them a motivation and it's some kind of a consequence. But in the end, this movie feels like it doesn't need to happen because nothing. You do get a bit of backstory about Kang. But not enough to warrant a whole movie.
I feel like they should make a Kang movie.
I think that'll be the Kang Dynasty.
Infinity
War was Thanos' movie.
Essentially, Thanos movie with the heroes in it. But like, they should just make an origin villain movie with no superhero. Like, just an origin villain movie. Maybe they'll do it with Doctor Doom, but
the best Marvel villain. It's probably Doctor Doom that you could do that with.
Yeah. Well, they did it sort of with with Magneto in First Class.
You could do it with Magneto as well. Yeah. But they've already done it, so I don't think
they won't do it again.
And Doctor Doom's never been done well, so they can probably do that.
Yeah, and he's got a really cool backstory as well. So.
And now that Iron Man doesn't exist, like there's that void where he can fill that.
But they're probably not going to do that because they're probably going to do Fantastic Four.
I don't think he's going to be in it. Or it might be in an end credit scene.
Or is he not going to be in this phase at all? I mean, not this phase, this saga.
I think he will be the villain in Secret Wars. Yeah. I think somewhere between now and Secret Wars, he'll get introduced.
Yeah. But which movies would he come in?
He could be in the Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Well, he is Earth-based. So. And they've got to find a way to connect all the Earth stuff with, like, all the cosmic stuff. Some way.
Yeah. I think they need to do some more storyboarding and some more cohesion. Either make a good movie in itself that makes sense within itself, or make something that builds up to something bigger, but make it a good movie as well. Don't make a movie that is kind of building up to something, but then nothing really matters in the end anyway.
Which is pretty much all we've got so far in Phase 4, and this being the first movie, Phase 5. We haven't talked about MODOK. I thought it was pretty bad. Bad in the sense not done well.
I think that's a very hard character to put on actual, like, in real life screen.
Yeah.
I think this is probably... I didn't like the face. The face looked weird. I think they could have done the face better.
Yeah.
But I think they had to make it look like Corey Stoll. And if they made the face look too weird, it wouldn't have looked like Corey Stoll.
Did
but
it
they
have
should
to
have,
look like him, though?
They should have just made it look weirder. Like
just use his voice. I don't think it had to look like him.
I think they thought it had to look like him. Yeah. But it didn't look good because it looked like him. They should have made the face weirder. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also... I don't know if you can ever make that character look good on screen.
Which is probably why they just killed him off in this movie as well.
Yeah. I don't know if that's in the comic books, obviously it works, but I don't know if that's one you could translate to the screen. You might be able to, but I thought the voice was weird as well. Like, it was weirdly ADR'd.
The face definitely, it just didn't look good. It looked like you were just looking at Corey Stoll through a magnifying glass.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at first I'm like, it's not too bad, but the more you look at it, the more meant to be like, not, it's not meant to look good. Like,
was it meant to be funny?
It is, yeah. Which is the ongoing joke that I didn't find funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's meant to be displeasing to look at.
Yeah.
But
which is what is in the comics as well.
In the comics as well. But I just don't think it worked that well.
Yeah. And it wasn't funny. I didn't think it was that funny. There weren't that many jokes.
Mm.
From him that landed.
I think that's all I had to say.
Hank is basically comic relief in this movie.
Yeah. There's Ants Ex Machina.
Yeah.
That, like, if they have like 2 to 3 scenes, maybe like a 30 seconds overall in the film where they hint that there's ants in the quantum realm. But if you...
But you see them go in with them.
Yeah, but like...
but obviously you don't think much of it. Oh, it's just a bunch of ants.
It's just a bunch of ants. Yeah. But like, it's not like... Oh, yeah, they hinted at that before, and this is a good payoff. It's just like, why the fuck's this happening?
How did they... Because when these guys go into quantum realm, they shrink down to, like, quantum realm size.
And the ants are bigger.
Why are the ants big?
Yeah. Well, they're still shrunk, because if they were in the quantum... If they were the same size as they real life, massive, then they'll be...
But they're obviously shrunk, but they didn't
but
shrink,
they did
as,
shrink
much
as much as they did. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of this stuff doesn't make sense.
I mean, we could probably just keep going. I think that's pretty much it. I thought when they do go into the quantum realm, it was reminiscent of, like, Doctor Strange trippy stuff for a couple of seconds until they land. I thought the overall quantum realm... So the CGI didn't look as bad as, like, Thor, Love, and Thunder.
It's looked worse in other movies, but also didn't amazing.
It still didn't look that great.
Yeah.
And for some, I don't know, it was the lighting or something. It just looked like, it didn't look good. Like, it looked dark and just didn't look like a place that you want to explore. It just looked like a place you want to get out of.
Maybe that was the goal.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, the whole point of this movie is they go into the quantum realm and then they want to get out of the quantum realm. And that's the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then they encounter Kang on the way. That's it.
That's it, essentially, yeah.
The probability, what was it? The probability bubble or whatever it was.
Matrix? Is it Matrix? I know. Probability matrix is a thing.
Yeah.
I went to the bathroom at that point. I came halfway through that.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was okay.
There was a part with the Paul Rudd in Baskin Robbins. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They kept going back to that guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's there.
Yeah.
But why does it keep appearing in this sequence?
I thought it was pretty funny.
I guess it was all right.
Yeah.
It was good that all the Scott Langs from all the different probabilities, they all have a single goal, I guess, to save Cassie.
Apparently there was a similar scene with Hope when she goes through it and she sees alternate versions of herself.
Oh, okay. But they kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. I think they just cut out every movie. They're like, is this essential to the movie? No, then let's cut this scene with her in it.
Yeah. they obviously split them up for a reason. So it was like Scott and his daughter, and then Hope and her parents. So I think they were trying to do something.
It was meant to be Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah. And then they come together and then they fight.
Yeah. And it could have been like a family bonding thing, because like obviously her mum was not telling them very important information and she's had issues with Hank in the past. So it could have been like a good family session for them. And then obviously Cassie's gone a bit rogue. So it could have been but it feels like everything's all good. Like,
yeah.
You weren't telling us stuff? Oh, that's fine.
There's not much to this movie, unfortunately. I thought there would be more to it, but it is pretty simple in the end. And this is one of those movies, I don't think you're missing out on much if you skip it.
I would almost say that for all the Phase 4 movies. Is there anything that you have to watch? Maybe Spider-Man?
Some of them are good movies. Yeah. So watch the good movies. Like Shang-Chi is a good movie. It's not inconsequential.
Yeah.
It doesn't lead to much, but it introduces a character. It's a good movie.
Yeah, and it feels like within the movie there's enough stakes for you to like watch it. Spider-Man's
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever was a decent movie. I wouldn't say it was amazing, but I think it's one of the better ones in Phase 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also doesn't lead to anything, but at least it's okay in terms of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you've got like character stakes.
There's stuff in that that's not good as well, but I think most of it is decent. Yeah.
Also, I tried to watch that movie again and it was too boring.
It's too sad. It's too sad and I wouldn't watch it again. Yeah.
All right. Did you know, I've got a bit of trivia. Did you know when Kang angrily smashes Scott's helmet with a roundhouse kick? That's a reference to the comics panel where he does a similar move against Spider-Man.
I think that's taking a leap. I'm sure he does a lot of roundhouse kicks in the comics. I don't know if it's...
But the famous one is when he roundhouse kicks
fair enough. Spider-Man. Yeah.
And now he's kicking another insect-based superhero.
I think they've taken a bit of a leap there. I'm sure he's done a lot of kicks in the comics.
And Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige has called the film a direct line into Phase 5 and will lead directly into Avengers the Kang Dynasty.
Fair enough.
And Peyton Reed said that the movie will have a profound impact on the MCU.
Peyton Reed as a director doesn't feel like he has any...
Doesn't have a defining characteristic.
Doesn't have a thing, yeah.
Yeah, because the first Ant-Man movie, it had some creativity in it, but I'm pretty sure that was all from Edgar Wright because they pretty much used most of his script. The second movie is pretty, whatever. It's pretty bland. So what – he doesn't have, anything.
He's like a J.J. Abrams. He's, not terrible, but, just making generic movies.
Yeah, there's nothing, that stands out. Yeah. At least, Ryan Coogler, he's got something different about
– He brings, a cultural aspect to his movies. Yeah.
And who else?
Taika Waititi, given what – Thor Love and Thunder wasn't good, but
at least
he does have his thing.
He's got his style, James Gunn's got his style.
Yeah. Not all of their movies are going to be good, but when you watch a James Gunn movie, you know it's made by James Gunn, and you're like, this is, he's stuck to what he wanted to make.
Did you also know that Bill Murray was interested in joining Marvel for a while and even phoned Catherine Newton to ask if she was okay with him joining the cast?
Yeah,
why did he call her? It's not like she has any authority on who's in the movie.
Maybe she's the only one who he knew. Apparently, Bill Murray has this open phone number that people call, and anyone can call that number, and that's how he gets his auditions and stuff. So if you want Bill Murray in your movie, you just call this number.
Oh, yeah. Should we make a movie with Bill Murray?
I don't think he'll do it.
We did this, so.
Yeah. Arguably, this is better than anything we could ever make. So,
okay, future. I guess we kind of know what's going to happen in the future, but apparently there might be a fourth Ant-Man movie. So Douglas said he would be interested in returning for the fourth film if Pym died in it. So
he wants to come back to kill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like Harrison Ford. He's like, isn't that why he came back to Force Awakens? He's like, because he's going to die and he doesn't have to do this anymore?
Possibly, yeah. That's a rumor. Yeah.
Do you reckon he's going to die in Indiana Jones?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably just wants to go through and kill himself in every franchise he's been in. What's that movie where he's a fugitive? Oh, it's Fugitive. Yeah. He'll kill himself as the fugitive in the next one.
I don't think that's...
Air Force One. He's going to kill himself as the Air Force One.
I don't think they ever made sequels to those movies, though. They're like one-offs.
He's going to kill himself as
the guy in Expendables.
Is he in Expendables?
Yeah, like gives him a plane or something.
And then, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember any other Harrison Ford movies.
There's that one with the dog.
That's a new one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all the old ones. He wants to kill himself in those.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe that's what Michael Douglas wants to do as well. And then the writer for this movie also said that he started to discuss a potential fourth film with Kevin Feige and Peyton Reed.
Hmm.
I'm surprised Peyton Reed's got three movies, to be honest. Because they like kicked out like the guy who did like the first Captain America. They kicked him out.
I don't think they kicked him out. I think they just had had a better pitch. Yeah.
They had someone else. I feel like surely someone would have had a better pitch for an Ant-Man movie.
Yeah. I think there probably is people that would have a better pitch for it. I don't know. Peyton Reed probably makes the movie that the studio wants and he doesn't cause any trouble. He does it in a time frame. He's like that manager at work that is just like he doesn't do anything extra or doesn't do anything less. He'll stick to the time frame and it'll give you a decent product. Yeah,
it gets the job done.
He won't go above and beyond. Yeah.
Well, this one he certainly didn't. I think it's, if anything, he's underperformed with this one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think that's all we have to say about Ant-Man. It's another. I was hoping this one would be good, but it's another disappointment.
Yeah.
I know some people do like it. I think the critics are probably overreacting a little bit. I don't think it's as bad as what
they are overreacting a little bit. Like this, like I said, if this movie came out in 2011, it would have been fresh.
It would have been like a.
It's no worse than Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's no worse than Captain Marvel, which everyone hates.
People are gonna probably hate you for that. Yeah. It's probably I'd agree. It's probably about that level.
Yeah,
yeah. If not, maybe a bit worse. At least that similar standard.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. But maybe because so many of these movies come out now, we just need them to be a little bit better or do something special.
Yeah. At least they're starting to like.
Yeah.
Space out the releases a little bit. I think that is also will make a difference because remember we had to wait like sometimes we'd be waiting a year for the next Marvel movie.
Yeah.
In like phase one, it'd be like they were like a year apart and then we got to like two movies a year where you had, you know, 6 months apart. That was still a decent amount of waiting. Now you just got something like every...
You got too much...
You got a TV show or you
of
got
not
movie.
A great quality. Yeah. It's basically inflation. This is Marvel inflation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And the quality is reduced as a result of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just general superhero, like too many
superhero fatigue in general.
Yeah.
And it's also like they're not that creative anymore.
Like too many superhero movies that aren't good as well. So like it makes everything else like even the good ones kind of get lost in it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of all the same. Like do something different now. And maybe they got a bit too obscure as well. Like because they've done all the like major sort of characters. So now they're like digging deeper into the comics and going into like sort of lesser known
but
characters.
If you could do it well, I think that's...
Well, they did it with like Guardians.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. Well, James Gunn's DC universe looks like it's going to be all that. So I think he will probably do well with it. So I think it can be done if you give it to the right people. Yeah.
I guess the only major Marvel Comics characters that they haven't done is probably Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because we've had enough X-Men movies, but I think Fantastic Four is probably one where they are popular enough that people recognize them and there's good enough stories that they could probably do something pretty good.
Yeah, they could do the one where Reed Richards hits his wife.
Isn't that Hank Pym?
He does it as well, yeah. Well, they both do it.
All right.
Just everyone was hitting their wives in the 60s.
Yeah, and then Tony Stark was like...
He was just drunk and, driving and shit. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they should go back to that era.
Yeah, that would be depressing, but
do it like Joker style, like that sort of tone, like the dark tone.
And they're the heroes.
Yeah, and they're
hitting their wives.
They're like the main characters, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're rooting for them.
Or maybe you could do it like anti-hero.
We're like, yes, hit your wife more. is that what we're going for or no? No, I don't think that's what we want. I don't think we want anyone to be hitting their wife. just want to put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not advocating that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not that era.
Maybe. Maybe they're going to bring Ant-Man 4. Hank Pym's going to hit his wife and then die.
They get shot.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Janet goes back in the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Just doesn't tell anyone this time.
Yeah.
All right. Next week, we've got Creed 3. Jonathan, another major release for Jonathan Majors. I was going to do an ant joke, but yeah, I won't.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save it for next one.
This was highly anticipated.
Yeah, it's too late for that. Yeah. That was like a starter podcast joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was going to be important.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was.
It wasn't. Yeah.
It was not. I can't think of another word. That's. Yeah. Anyway. Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And the Wasp.
Done.
Not good. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If people want to get in touch with us, how do they go about it?
So we're at Cognitive Recalibration on all. Podcast on all social medias.
Yeah, Twitter, yes. Instagram, TikTok.
And our Gmail is cognitiverecalibration@gmail.com.
Cognitive Recalibration Podcast
at Gmail. Yes, it is. Yes.
Someone else will get the email if you send it to Cognitive
Recalibration. Yeah, there's probably not one anyway. We'll just bounce back.
No, there is because I tried to create it with that. And
oh, okay. Yeah, so it will go to someone. Yeah. Yeah.
So someone has that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably post some stuff on TikTok and Instagram. We're going to get back onto that. We're actually going to do video today, but we...
But your house is getting renovated.
Yeah, so. It's renovated. It's a bit of a mess, but we'll probably do it at some stage. We've got it all sort of. Kind of set up, so it's almost ready to go. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by giving us a review on iTunes or Spotify, because that makes us more discoverable on search engines. Cool. Hopefully Creed 3 is better than this.
Yeah. The first two are pretty decent. You might need to watch the second one, but...
Yeah, I'll probably try to watch the second one before next week. Yeah. And then the week after that... Well, a couple weeks after that is Shazam.
Shazam 2, yeah. Yeah,
another superhero movie, which is going to be no doubt inconsequential because it's getting cancelled. So,
the guy that produces that is now this co-CEO of...
Peter Safran.
Peter Safran, yeah. So, him and James Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're scrapping it, right?
I don't know.
Well, Shazam's actually one of the...
Yeah.
Probably is the best DC movie.
Peter Safran... produces it, so I don't know.
Maybe they'll
it,
keep him.
Maybe.
But then Black Adam is meant to be...
Peter Safran didn't produce that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't Black Adam like Shazam's like arch nemesis?
Not according to the movie. If you watched it, it's Superman or some shit.
Yeah.
Or it's like some good guy or I don't know. Fuck that movie. That movie is worse than this movie.
All right. Anyway, on that note, we'll talk DC when we... get to DC. So hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you thought of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, and we'll see you in the next one for Creed 3. Thank you.
Yes.
See you later.